discovered that when we reject the me life and when we step into the Christ life, then we step into the greatness of God. Yes? Okay. So today, what we want to see is this, that when we reject the me life and we step into the Christ life, we also step into the goodness of God. So, how good is God? And that's an interesting question. How good is God? Well, compared to what? Compared to, let's see, you? Compared to me? Hey, you know, really, seriously, I'm a pretty good guy. And I know some people that, you know, they're pretty good girls, and you know, we really, I haven't ever done anything really bad, like murder somebody or anything. So I'm a pretty good guy, right? So that's what we say. And you'll see this all the time. It's really fascinating. If you'll just tune your ears to this, you'll hear this all the time. Well, he's a good guy. Or she's a good girl. Or they're a good person. Or good whatever. You'll hear this over and over again. In fact, if you listen through the day when you're home this summer for how good people think they are, you'll hear that all the time. I am a good person. My friends are good people because we haven't done anything that's as bad as what the other people have done. And besides, we go to church. So you take all that and you say, well, then really, you know, what about me? How good am I? My wife and I have a little test that we do. It's called, we call it scratch and sniff. And if you just, you ever seen these little things when you scratch them and sniff them and then you can smell whatever's inside there? And those things are designed to smell good, but we've realized that in our little scratch and sniff test, most of the time it doesn't smell very good when you scratch it and sniff it, okay? Because if you'll just try this with people, okay? People that come to church every Sunday morning, they walk in there, they're all dressed up, they look really good, and they look like they have everything together. The husband is sharp, the wife is beautiful, the kids look perfect. Scratch and sniff, because just below the surface, back home, it's a mess. It is a dysfunctional mess. Mess, mess, mess. And that's the way every one of us really are. You scratch and sniff on my life, and what you're going to see is that Barry St. Clair is a mess. That Barry St. Clair is dysfunctional, and that Barry St. Clair is not good. I'll give you a couple of examples. When I was about your age, some of you guys in junior high, you know, there was a cat that lived close to our house, and so one day, I can't explain this at all, why this happened, but I picked that cat up by the tail, swung him around, and flung him against the wall, killed him. Now remember, I'm a really good guy, okay? So, at least that's the way people thought of me. And then I had a friend, I was about 13, I guess, and we were doing some stuff, or I thought he was my friend, and so I'm drinking this Coke out of a bottle, and he just sort of does that to my mouth, jams it right into my teeth, okay? And then he turns around and runs. I grab the Coke, take the Coke bottle, and just wind up and go, 10 stitches, and I thought it was funny. I think that runs in our family, because my oldest son, who's about 4 years older than his younger brother, I only found out about this years later, but the word on the street is that he would get his younger brother down on the ground, pin his shoulders to the ground, and then he, from here, would start drooling and see how much of it he could get into his mouth. Not good. Not good. If we had all my time here to tell you the stories, I could tell you about the times that I've lied, I've stolen, I've cheated in school, I've beat up on my sister, you know, mistreated her when I was younger. I used to swear like a sailor. All these things are a part of my life. Not good. Not good. And so when we look at ourselves and we're really honest with ourselves, the thing we would have to say is, I am not a good person. Can you say that with me out loud? I am not a good person. Because whatever my illustrations are, you've got similar illustrations of this junk and crud and stuff and mess and dysfunction in your own life. So when we say that, and we bring it over here to the Bible, in Romans chapter 3, it says, therefore it is written, there are none righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks after God. All have turned aside. Together they've all gone their own way. There is, listen, no one good, no, not one. Follow that? It's not hard to understand, is it? So when we say compared to what? Okay, so God's good compared to what? Compared to me? Compared to the other billions of people that are in the world? There's no comparison between God and me. And it's the one thing that brings me to the place where I see that I need to step in to the goodness of God. So when we look at this and we see that we're not good, and then we compare ourselves to God, how good is God? We see in Psalm 145, 7 and 9, listen, these are awesome words about God himself. It says there that we celebrate his abundant goodness and sing joyfully of his righteousness. And then in verse 9 it says, the Lord is good. Look at that. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. So let's just take a minute to see the goodness of God here, because pretty awesome to see actually from this passage. It says that he has abundant goodness. Now, how much goodness is abundant goodness? That's just a lot of goodness. That is goodness that never ends. It's goodness that never runs out. It just keeps going on and on and on. Abundant goodness is a resource that never ends, that never stops flowing. And then it says about God that he is good to who? All. And who is all? All is all of the 7 billion people that are living on the planet today, and all who have ever lived throughout all of history. God is good to all, and he has the abundant goodness that never ends to extend his goodness to all of us people. Woo! That's big goodness. That is big goodness right there. Now, let's just kind of illustrate this. Let's just say, tell me, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream? Just tell me. I think I heard lots of chocolate out there. Hey, seriously, you can only have one favorite. You can't have 10. You can't have 10 favorites. You guys are giving the whole Baskin-Robbins list out here. All right, so let's just say here, strawberry. Who says strawberry? So let's just say that we have this unlimited, abundant, never-ending source of ice cream. And that ice cream is enough to give everybody in all the world today and everybody who's ever lived all of their favorite flavor of ice cream for as long as they want to eat it, forever and ever. They get to eat from this abundance of ice cream that it runs out over and over to all in all. that kind of brings God's goodness into perspective, because we like that ice cream. And God's goodness, as great as ice cream is, I'm a fan, God's goodness is bigger, and God's goodness is better. It's like his greatness. His greatness is unfathomable. We saw yesterday. Can't be searched out. Can't get to the end of it. So the truth is that we can say with confidence this morning, there is no one good but God alone. Say that with me. There is no one good but God alone. Now, if we can sort of establish that fact and say, well, you know, how good is God? That's how good he is, and there's no one else that's good besides God. When you say he's a good person, good girl, whatever. No. Only God is good. So, let's go to the second idea here this morning from Psalm 145 and ask the question, what is God good at? What does he do well? Okay, what encompasses his goodness that makes him so good? So when we look at Psalm 145:8, and we'll just read this out loud together. Let's all say it together. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and rich in love. Now, what does that actually mean, okay, about his goodness? Well, the Lord has extended, first of all, he is filled with grace, so he is gracious to you. And grace means that he, watch this now, he gives you what you don't deserve. That everlasting favorite flavor of ice cream, only in the spiritual sense. He gives you what you really don't deserve. And when he does that, grace is God's life in you. It's his ability in you. It's his supernatural ability in you through what he did at the cross and what he did in the resurrection. So he has extended his grace to you to say, I'm giving you. This is God's nature here. I'm giving you what you don't deserve. And then he's merciful, because mercy is the other side of that. And mercy is God not giving you what you do deserve. So what do you deserve? You deserve hell. You deserve eternal separation from him, because if he's the only one that's good, you don't fit in that category, so you can't be there with him. Mercy says God does not give you what you do deserve. And then he is slow to anger. Think about me killing that cat. Okay, that seemed to impact you guys pretty seriously there. Think about me killing that cat. Okay? God is patient toward me about my screw-ups, which are abundant and many. God is patient toward me. He is slow to get angry with me. And the reason he's slow to get angry with me is because he understands me and he loves me beyond myself. And so he steps in and he says, I am rich in love toward you. Barry, I'm covering up, taking care of, cleaning up all your messes. So here we are this morning. A lot of us in here, everyone in here, including me, have at some time in your life been rejected. Sometime in your life when there was somebody that you wanted them to love you, but they did not. You needed love from them, but they did not give it. You thought you deserved their love, but it didn't happen. And you were severely disappointed, and you felt rejected. And this morning, I'm simply here to say that God, rich in his grace, mercy, slow to angerness, and his richness in love, he just wraps his arms around you and says, I am rich, abundant in love toward you. You, you, and you, and everyone in here. I am rich in love toward you. There is nothing, watch this now, there is nothing that you can do behavior-wise that can cause God to love you less, and there's nothing that you can possibly do to cause God to love you more. And you're going to see this in how God shows that love to you and why God is so good and why he comes to you to wrap his arms around you and how deep and powerful that is. The only good man who ever lived. Went to the greatest lengths to extend his goodness to you. And my hope is that what you saw on the cross there, those images, will never leave your mind when you wonder if God ever loves you, or when you're ever tempted to turn away from him and his goodness toward you. But you know, that was not the end of it, because what Jesus did there, he did that so that he could take your badness and turn it into goodness. So that he could take your wrongness and turn it into righteousness. The Lord is good toward all, and he's loving toward all he has made. We celebrate his abundant goodness and sing joyfully of his righteousness. He's taken his goodness and he's turned your badness and turned it into his goodness. And he's taken your wrongness and he's turned it into your rightness. And how does he do that? You know what he does? He takes your bad heart and he turns your bad heart into a new and good heart. And when you open your heart to him today, every day, when you open your heart to him and receive his grace, his mercy, his love, all of his goodness for you, then what happens as a result of that is that the Spirit of God steps in and he gives you a new heart. The bad heart that you had goes away. The good heart that God gives you that you cannot earn, you cannot deserve, you cannot be good enough yourself, he gives you and places it inside of you. It's an awesome thing. God gives you his good heart. Whew. Ezekiel 36:26 says this. It says, I will give. Note the word give there. It's always God giving to us. We just receive. He gives. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of flesh, your heart of stone, which is hard and unyielding and turned away from me. I will remove your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh that's alive and has life in it, he says. I will put my, watch this now, I will put my spirit inside of you. I'll put my heart inside of you, and I will motivate you to obey me and to follow me and to love me. You see what Jesus has done for you? You see how good he's been to you? And so how do I respond to that? I mean, what do I do to respond to that? Well, I certainly can't earn it. I certainly can't do good things that are going to earn God's favor. So what in the world do I do? I say, first of all, oh my God's goodness. God is good. Oh my goodness. We say that all the time, sort of in a slang way, but we say it now, we can say it in a holy way, in a worship way. Oh my goodness. Because now I'm good, because God made me good, because he's given me a new heart. So, life is inside of you now. When you open your heart up to Him, life is inside of you. And so how do I respond? How do you respond? In two simple ways. First of all, I give thanks to Him and I praise Him. And when you read Psalm 145:10, it says this, all you have made will give thanks to you. And all of your saints, that's us, all of your saints who have opened their hearts up to Him, all of His saints will exalt Him. And so our response to what we just saw there is to say, oh, my goodness. And Lord, I give thanks to you because you've given to me. I give thanks to you. That's my only response. I give thanks to you. It's not about me. It's about you. I give thanks to you. I thank you. I want to have an attitude of gratitude every day. Get me out of this whining, complaining, wishing I had all those things that are so selfish about me, Lord, and just help me to see that my every day, my only response to you is say, I give thanks to you, Lord. I give thanks to you for what you did on the cross. I give thanks to you for putting your heart, your spirit inside of me. I give thanks to you for everything that's around me that's an expression of all of your goodness toward me. Even in the hardest times. It's easy to give thanks to God and praise Him when things are going well. But in the hardest times, when you're feeling like you're with Jesus on the cross and things are not going well in your life. I told you yesterday about when Carol died. And I want to show you how that connects to the goodness of God. The Sunday before my wife Carol died, we had some people called a prayer meeting in our house to pray for Carol. Because everybody knew she was really sick. And so we gathered there at the house. She was there. I was there. That morning, I'd read Job 42:12. And in Job 42:12, I read it, and I said, God, I think that promise is for me. And Job 42:12 said, the second half of your life is going to be better than the first. And I immediately interpreted that the Lord was going to heal. We're going to pray. The Lord's going to heal Carol, and that she was going to be better, and the second half of our life would be better than the first half. And God, in His greatness, said no. And for a good while after Carol died, I wondered about God's goodness to me, and I wondered if He didn't make a mistake, and somehow He was good, but He just forgot to be good to me. And I didn't know what to do with that. I didn't know what to do with that for a while until God reminded me, Barry, I'm good whether you see me as good right now or not. Just because the circumstances of your life aren't good doesn't mean that I'm not good. And just because you can't have what you want and think that I didn't give you what you needed is no reason to think that I'm still not good. And over time, in an amazing way, God showed me how He actually did fulfill that promise and how He has been good to me and how all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. When Carol and I were, after Carol died and I married LaWanna, we were cleaning out our house that Carol and I lived in for 28 years. And LaWanna pulled up in a drawer one day, and there was a letter in there, sealed up, written on the front. It said, Dave Busby. That was my wife LaWanna's first husband. It was written in Carol's handwriting. That night we sat down and we opened it up and we read it. And we just read it and cried. Because Carol was saying in there, whenever she wrote this letter, after she'd heard Dave speak and been with us some time, she wrote in there, Dave, I admire you so much. You've influenced my life in such an amazing way. I'm just so thankful for you. And to both of us, it was like, here's David in heaven, living in the presence of Jesus. Here's Carol in heaven, living in the presence of Jesus. And here we get to read this letter that says, they're up there rejoicing together in the fact that his widow and I, Carol's husband, are married. Whew. Awesome. God, you are so good. You are so good. This last weekend, we watched a video of David 4 weeks before he died, talking to a group like this and just pouring out his heart about the grace and mercy of God. And we finished watching that with some friends. Both of us just wept. We cried. And we cried not because we were sad, but we cried at the goodness of God to us. That God, in his goodness, often had let us love well twice. Many people go through life and never have one spouse love them well once. And here Luana and I were sitting there going, David loved her well. Carol loved me well. We loved each other well. But now here we are 14 years later sitting here weeping at this video, having wept over this letter, at the goodness of God to put us together and to allow us to love each other inside the goodness of God. Whew. Your circumstances right now may be creating lots of pain for you. You may be looking at your life and say, you know, not thinking God's so good right now. Doesn't feel good. Doesn't look good. I'm not acting good. But in spite of all of that, you can count on this, that when you step out of yourself and into the goodness of God, you can know for sure, you can know for sure that God is going to give you his goodness. And it's going to be beyond anything that you have ever imagined. And so here's what happens to us. Summarize. Because of the cross, his richness and grace and mercy and love that he's poured out toward us on the cross, because of that, I now have the opportunity to have a new heart that takes my bad heart and turns it into a good one, my wrong heart and turn it into a right one. I have God's Spirit inside of me. And when I have God's Spirit inside of me, there are two things that happen to me that just come out of me. When I really grasp it, it comes out of me. And it's like, God, I praise you and thank you. And the other thing is that I can't help myself but to express Jesus, to tell about Jesus to other people. All you have made will thank you, O Lord, and all your saints will praise you, Psalm 45:10 says. And then verse 11 says this. Listen. 45:11. Look down at the bottom. They, that's us, who have experienced the goodness of God, they will tell of the glory of your kingdom, and they will speak of your might. It's not like you have to try to witness. It's not like you have to try to be good. It's not like you have to try to do this and that. You just simply go to the cross and say, Jesus, I love you because you loved me. Your heart is in my heart. And because your grace, goodness, and love abide right here inside of me, I can walk out of this room, wherever you are, walk through my day, and know that everything, in everything, I can say, God, thank you. Thank you. Lord, I praise you. I praise you. I exalt you. I'm making you Lord here. I'm making this decision. I'm making you Lord right now. I'm thanking you for what's going on. Doesn't look good to me right now, but I'm thanking you for it anyway, because I know you're in charge and you're in control. And I am also telling other people about you. My life, my eyes tell about you. My ears tell about you. My smile tells about you. The way I walk tells about you. Everything about, and my mouth speaks of Jesus and his love on the cross for you and me. So let's close our time this way. I want you to just stand up with me. And I want us to just talk to God. And I want you to know this morning that God invites you wherever you are this morning. God invites you into his goodness. He's saying to you, whoever you are, wherever you are in this room, God is saying to you, I invite you into my goodness. And so we're going to say two things out loud to Jesus. And I want you to put at least one hand in the air, probably both hands. Just lift them up to Jesus. And I want us all to just pray this prayer out loud together in a spirit of prayer. You don't have to be loud, but just out loud say this with me, Jesus. And let's read it together. Thank you for your goodness to me on the cross. Right now, I open my heart to receive your grace, mercy, and love. Thank you for putting your cross in my heart and giving me a good heart like yours. Amen. Now, as you're walking out of the room, I want you to tell one other person, the person next to you, before you even leave this room, I want you to say, I praise God that he is good, that he has been good to me. And I want you to say, I thank God for showing me his goodness on the cross of Jesus, okay? Say that to whoever you're with, and then we'll turn it over to who's next.